book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 12. Again, the book of Exodus is where Moses had received the Ten Commandments from God to start off the nation of Israel on the right path. After he delivered them out of Egypt, and he'd taken them into a land for his own self, and so they could give him honor and glory, this is the thing that he had to establish. He had to establish some commandments. He had to establish some laws along the way. Most of you know that we need laws along the way because we can tend to get out of hand if we don't have some kind of regulation or some ordinance to govern our activity.
Yes, sir.
Amen? So God does that. And there's order in his worship. And there's order in the family. There's order in the church. And so he begins by giving Moses these Ten Commandments. And in one of the commandments, in verse 12, if you read along with me, it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You know, it's quite interesting to look at. We see Mother's Day is held every year, one day every year. Father's Day in June is held one day every year. And we see that the world honors that. In my thinking, I was like, where did this Mother's Day honoring, Father's Day honoring, was adopted from?
Uh-huh.
Well, we can see in the fifth commandment out of these Ten Commandments in Exodus, the world has adopted honoring your mother right from the Ten Commandments.
Yes, sir.
Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. So this is where it is taken from the Word of God. Now, this is a commandment not to do one day out of the year. This is a commandment that you have to follow throughout your lifetime. The honor of the father, the honor of the mother.
Yes, sir.
Throughout your lifetime, this is the commandment. And at any time that you break it, or you dishonor your mother, or you dishonor your father, you have broke God's commandment.
Yes, sir.
And so, mothers, today, we honor you because this is what God told us to do.
Amen.
Honor you for what you have done for us. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And so if we look at mothers, why is it so special? What is so special about a mother that we need to honor? Well, we have to think about it. A mother is the only one that can birth a child.
Uh-huh.
Which without no one in the world can be here today or exist today if it had not been for a mother who had birthed us. Whether that was whether the mother birthed a son or whether the mother birthed a daughter. If it had not been for the woman, the female, we will not be here today. Man can't do that. Man cannot carry a child 9 months.
No.
Only a woman can do that.
Yeah.
Not only that, she carries a child 9 months. At the same time, she's a woman. At the same time, she's married.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of tasks in that. Can you carry a child 9 months, deal with all of the growth that is taking place in her, the hormonal changes in her, preparing for the coming of the child, and at the same time, remain a wife as well? That's why we honor her. That is something that man has to do. Don't worry, man, you'll get your day to be honored, but right now it's the mom. She has something special a man can't do.
Uh-huh.
He cannot birth anybody. So that's where we get honor your mother that's in the 10th commandment.
Yes.
And because of that, this is so important. It is recognized in the 5th verse, in the 5th commandment, let me say. The 5th commandment tells us to honor the mother. The number 5 is the word grace. Jesus' name is 5 letters, J-E-S-U-S, and cross is 5 letters, C-R-O-S-S.
Yes, sir.
You also see grace in the word grace. There's 5 letters, G-R-A-C-E.
Yes.
In the word saved, it's 5 letters, S-A-V-E-D.
Yes, sir.
The word Moses is 5 letters, M-O-S-E-S.
Yep.
And in the 5th command out of the 10th commandment is where the mother and the father receive the honor. And they are the examples of grace and mercy. Because they have paved the way through failure, they have paved the way through successes, and they are equipped from life toils, equipped with spiritual value, the lessons that they have learned along the way. Now they instill it into their child, they instill it into the children. Their grace and mercy will help them throughout life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it says that your days may live, that your days may be long upon the earth.
Yeah.
Honor them means not just to give them a gift, honor them means to respect what they say when they say it.
Yeah.
A mother has reasons to groom the son and groom the daughter because she's been there and done that. Honoring means not just to give her gifts, not just to say thank you, but honor means to be obedient.
Come on.
To submit to her authority as a loving parent who wants to see the good go with you all the days of your life.
Yeah.
Honoring, that's what that means.
Uh-huh.
So the word honor comes from two Greek words. One of the Greek words is doxa, where we get the English word doxology.
Yes, sir.
Doxology is that final capping on a song, giving the highest glory to God. You know, in the Christian time, we sing glory to God in the highest.
Yeah.
You know, in excelsis Deo, to God, glory to God in the highest. It's a doxology. It's making the manifestation of God and the power of the Spirit that we feel and sing in it, it does something to us in our spirits and in our bodies. So it is, doxology is ascribed to God Himself being divine, meaning that words alone cannot give an exact expression of who He is.
Uh-huh.
The manifestation of God, God being who He is, God Himself speaks for Himself what man cannot explain in words.
Yes, sir.
We become speechless.
Mm-hmm.
We become wordless because His glory alone, His honor alone speaks for Himself.
Yes, sir.
So that honor is doxology. We give honor to God just for being who He is. The second Greek word for honor is time. It's called tamako. It comes from that Greek word, time. So, what do you mean, time? It's the English word time. There was time that was built into the mother to give her the worth and priceless right to be able to pass down along the instructions to their children.
Uh-huh.
Time. Anytime time has taken place, you better believe that there is some value set in.
Yes, sir.
They say, do not let someone govern a church who's a beginner. That person has to have some time in leadership.
Yes, sir.
They have to be molded. They have to be characterized for trial and error. They have to be set for all of the functions that is to come their way and still maintain their balance as a leader.
Yes, sir.
So she is valuable. There's a price slapped on. She becomes reverence. That's what honor is. Time.
Yes, sir.
Through time, you've got to give honor to somebody else. Amen.
Amen.
So if you look at that, we find out that that's where honor comes from. It comes out of the Ten Commandments. But let's also look at what a mother does in disciplining her child.
Uh-huh.
You look in Exodus chapter 13, verse 13. If the commandments tell us to honor your mother so that your days may be long upon the earth, she then knows that if you exhibit a behavior that's in question, that's out of the norm of how she has raised you, She has a right to discipline. She has the right to bring you back into clear understanding. And this is because so that your days throughout the world or throughout the earth, you will live long.
Uh-huh.
You won't die at early age through gang violence. You won't die robbing somebody. You won't die carrying out some criminal activity.
Uh-huh.
So her responsibility in her honor is also to discipline
you. Yes,
if your days are going to be long upon earth.
Right.
Exodus chapter 13, verse 13 reads this. It says, let's look at verse 12. You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Listen to that. Let's read that again. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. What is that talking about? Well, we talked about grace and mercy. If it wasn't for Jesus' death on the cross, we would not have grace today and mercy. We were redeemed because of something that we did in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. We moved from dependence to independence from God.
Yeah.
We no longer were up under the authority of God, we were under the authority of ourselves. So in the home, when the child becomes doing his own thing, becoming his own right, decides not to listen to the rules and regulations of that home, then what happens is that that child becomes disobedient, so to speak. And in our verse it says, redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. Now what did he use donkey? He says, if you do not redeem this donkey, break his neck. Now, the Lord is certainly not telling mothers to kill your child, but he uses donkey as an expression of stubbornness, as an expression of disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
A donkey is stubborn.
Yes, it is.
A donkey is sturdy. A donkey is a beast of burden. And if you do not redeem it with a lamb, that means put that disobedient and stubborn and wayward child under the blood of Jesus Christ, because he is the lamb that redeemed us from our wayward independence from God when we left him in the Garden of Eden. Jesus had to come and redeem us from our disobedience to bring us back to God. So he uses donkey to show that stubborn behavior out of a child is unacceptable.
Uh-huh.
Disobedience from a child is unacceptable. And then he said, if you do not redeem them under the blood of Jesus Christ, break his neck. The donkey's neck has to be broken if you do not give him over to the Lord. So what is that saying is? That's saying that if you do not do your job, mom, as a parent, to discipline your child when they become wavered and when they go off the path, then he or she will end up getting killed throughout life. Life will kill the child in and of itself. Through what? Being incarcerated? Through what? Maybe gang violence? Through what? Maybe a violent death? In a criminal activity, when the police officer says stop, you don't stop, hey, they have the right to carry out city ordinance.
Yes.
For the protection of the city, for the protection of other cities, and also for the protection of that officer. So you might as well, what he's saying is, if you do not put your child, mother, under the blood of Jesus Christ, then he might as well die anyway. Because his disobedience is going to lead to his own death. You might as well. He might as well die. What is going to come up and befall him? So he says, if you do not redeem this donkey, then break his neck. And I hear the saying says, I'd rather whoop you than let the law or the officers whoop you.
Yes.
So you have to discipline your child. That's what it says on the mother. is to discipline a disobedient child. A mother's first duty with her children is to bring them before the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1 is a story about a woman who prayed for a child. Her name was Hannah. Hannah prayed for a child. First she was barren, but then the Lord blessed her.
Yes.
Let's look at the 20th verse of 1 Samuel chapter 1, the 20th verse. And it says this. 2 Samuel here, so let me get 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. So in your points, write this down. Honor your mother as in the Ten Commandments. That's the first point. The second point is you have a responsibility to discipline your child when they get wayward. I don't care what the courts say. You have that right.
Yes.
You want to see your son or your daughter end up dead by the hand of someone else? Then you have to put a stop to that disobedient behavior. Now, breaking his neck is not like breaking your child's neck, but you have to break that stubborn habit in some form or way. Amen?
Amen.
So, 1 Samuel verse 20 says this. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home. Yes, 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm sorry. I'm in chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 20. I'm in chapter 2. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Wasn't she following what the Lord had required? To redeem your children is to bring them up. The honor of the mother, the third point, is that for your children to be redeemed, for your child to go about and live a successful life under the hand of God, you have to begin early in life is raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You have to raise them up in church, in the Word of God, in the presence of God, before God. And what Hannah did was she said, God has blessed me with this child, and I'm going to bless God back by putting my child in the presence and the atmosphere of the Lord.
Yes.
So the world won't get him. So philosophy won't destroy him. So all of this other stuff in the world, secularism, worldly things will not eat up this child because they will start off validly knowing what God requires.
Mm-hmm.
She stayed at home, and she weaned the child, and she said she would take him up. Verse 28 says, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. And Hannah did just that. The honorable mother, the third point is that you bring up your child in the presence of the Lord, before the Lord. What else is this done? They went as a family. You see that? Elkanah went as a family. They went up every year to Jerusalem, and they went as a family. What else do mothers do that make them so special? Their honor, it says it in the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, they are to instill discipline. Third is that they bring up their child in the presence of the Lord, because it is He that allowed you to have a child. You cannot have a child if the Lord doesn't bless you. There's women now that are barren. They cannot have children at all. But in time, He provides a miracle for that woman to have a child.
Yeah.
And if you are having children today, your first duty is to bring them up before the presence of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Now let's look in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. We're going to look at some special things that mothers do with their children. To start off, a good motherhood is really to have a relationship with the Lord and being that good example. And we're going to find this in Luke chapter 2, verse 41.
Mm-hmm.
To start out in motherhood as a good example, you are to be that example.